I don't know why I need the bulletin when I find out. I write most of the stuff on it, and Marie takes it, edits it, and puts it all together for us every Sunday, which we do appreciate. But I like to have it sitting there so I somehow remember where I am. Our epistle lesson from today is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Now, to put this in some kind of perspective for you, the chapter 5 talks in Ephesians that we've been studying some from the last couple weeks, talks about how we're to live and how we're to do family. It talks about relationships. It talks about love and support and obedience and humility and all the things that are necessary to live a godly life with in a Christian family and in a Christian community and a Christian church. Now, this message, starting in verse 10, is addressed specifically to Christians. A lot of the things in the Bible are addressed to people who don't know Christ, who are uncertain. Just as Joshua talked about in the Old Testament scripture that Rick read, he said, you know, you can choose. You can choose the Lord, or you can go worship the idols, the gods of the people that you've conquered to take this land. But as for me and my house, I choose the Lord. Well, this scripture is written to people who've chosen Jesus Christ that we're reading now. The earlier tell them how they're supposed to live and how a Christian lives and their a Christian outlook of life. Hear now the word of our Lord. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray for me also, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. And this is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
It's a pretty vivid picture here that is painted by the Apostle Paul. He is in chains. He's imprisoned. He's being held by the Romans at this point. And so this vision that we get is of the Roman guard, the Roman soldiers, and the armor that they have. part of the time in Scripture, elsewhere in Scripture, Paul, as was Peter, spent time actually chained to a Roman guard overnight. So he spent the night actually having a guard chained to them. The leaders frequently figured that these Christians were so dangerous that they needed to chain the guard to them so they would not escape. And of course, as we recall in the case of Peter, the chains fell away, the guards fell asleep, and he walked out. But here, Paul is looking at the armor not as a threat to his person, which he has been threatened a lot, not as a danger to him, but he's giving us the vision of the armor of security. In 2 Kings, it talks about, in 2 Kings, it is written that God has put on the armor, the breastplate of righteousness. Here, we hear Paul saying that our struggle is not with flesh and blood. This is not about the normal cares of the world. This is about the devil, the evil one. This is about Satan. It may well be that some in this room do not really fully believe there is a devil, that the devil exists. You may believe in God, but you have a hard time believing in the devil, because most of us grew up with the devil visualized as this thing dressed in red tights with a pointy tail and horns coming out of his head. But how do you visualize the angel Gabriel? Or Michael? The devil was made the same as Gabriel and Michael, made by God. So the devil doesn't look like what we think he looks like. The devil is a fallen angel. No pitchfork, no red suit, no pointy tail. We hear that the angel, read about the angel coming to see people on earth. So there's things that we know about an angel. They have a lot of power. They have led entire armies to conquest. They have driven out the enemies of Israel, made the people run, in their enemies who were better armed and way outnumbered the people of Israel, made them run in fear. They delivered the power of God to free the people of Israel, to conquer the lands that God had given them. So we know that the angels have power. But they're not like God. God is all-knowing. The angels know what God has given them to know. Satan knows only what God has given him to know. God is everywhere all at the same time. He's omnipresent. Satan, like the angel Gabriel and Michael, are one place at one time. Now, Satan didn't rebel and lead by himself. Who has courage to do that? Satan rebelled against God and led minions of other heavenly creatures with him. And those are where we believe and understand from Scripture is where the demons that are cast, that Jesus repeatedly cast out of people, and that Paul cast out of people, and Peter cast out of people, and the early prophets delivered people from, that these demons are ones that were led away in the rebellion of Satan from God in heaven. And they have a lot of power. They have a lot of power. But they're not God. They're not all-knowing. They're not everywhere, and they're not all powerful. They have more power than you and I do. And therefore, when we try to stand up to the evil ones, to the evil spirits, to the whims of Satan, we will fail unless we have God with us. And that's what Paul's talking about here. Put on the armor of God. He says, the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Now here Paul is sitting there, spending much of his time writing the scripture that we treasure so much, that teaches us so richly about the nature of God, the person of God, about our relationship with God. And much of it, Paul has spent writing from a dungeon or a prison or in house arrest. And so he's very familiar with what the soldiers look like, because he's always being arrested or beaten or stoned or thrown out of the city. And so he says here in verse 14, he says, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. The belt of truth. The belt for soldiers in that day, just as it is today, is a very, very important thing. The belt was not this little, neat, little thin leather thing like we wear today, but it was a broad piece of leather and everything that reinforced them, that made them feel secure, that gave them greater strength in their back, and had laces on it that they could tie things and carry things, much as you see a police officer today or a soldier today with all the array of instruments and apparatus and things that they have to carry everything. This is the belt that denotes power and authority, and that is the truth of God. Paul is saying, don't go out without the truth of God with you. I am the way, the truth. Jesus is the truth. Anything other than Jesus is not true. There is no other way. There is no life without Jesus Christ. He is the truth. The breastplate of righteousness in place. 2 Kings talks about God putting on the breastplate of righteousness. It's really, Paul was thinking about that when he wrote this and everything. And this is the armor that the soldier puts on to protect them, because this would have been made of thick leather, possibly layered over with a thin piece of metal on it if they had that. This is something that was used to deflect the arrows and the spears, so that to keep the body safe, the body cavity safe. The breastplate of righteousness. So, what does that mean? All you have to do, if you are righteous, then you are safe from the evil one. Is that right? Absolutely not. None are righteous. We have no righteousness. Our righteousness only comes from the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. Jesus gave us an imputed righteousness, an understood righteousness, a righteousness that he gave us, because when he sacrificed himself on the cross, when he was nailed to the cross, and he took on him not just the pain, not just the humility, but when he took on the guilt of my sin, of your sin. And God turned his back on him and he said, Lord, Lord, why have you forsaken me? God no longer saw your sin. He said, it's as far as from the east, from the west, that I remember it no more. It's in the depths of the ocean. This is the righteousness that you put on. This is the righteousness that you carry to the battle. This is the righteousness that you use to defend yourself. And with your feet, fit it with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Believing that there is a devil, not believing in the devil, but believing that there is a devil, that Satan is real and lives and is allowed by God. It's a mystery to me as well. He is allowed by God to torment God's people, to test God's people, to use his wiles and his wills and his cunningness to lead us astray, to lead us away from the love of God. No, you will never lose your salvation if you are indeed saved in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you will indeed be led to sin if you allow yourself to be led by Satan. And so, God has said, has told Paul through the scripture, and Paul has told us that we are to put on our feet the gospel of peace, the readiness. Ready for what? Well, being dressed in armor, being equipped and protected by God doesn't do any good if you stay still and don't carry the word out into the world. If you don't go out and live as a Christian, if you don't live differently than the world and dare to stand and be counted for the Lord Jesus Christ and to share that with people that you meet. So he gave us feet to walk, feet to go out into the world, feet, once we're protected by his grace, once we're protected by the armor of God, we use our feet to go out and share the good news and teach others and tell others what a difference God has made in our lives. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, the Roman soldiers carried two shields, in fact. They carried a shield, small one, that they would use to protect their hand when they fought hand-to-hand combat with the opposing soldiers. They had a small shield that they would use to deflect that. But that wasn't what would help protect them from arrows. Nobody can move a hand shield fast enough to protect you from arrows. So we know that what Paul is talking about is the other shield that Romans soldiers carried. And this was a shield that made them famous and feared throughout all the nations around. And when the Romans came in to conquer them, they would see hundreds and thousands of Roman soldiers with these shields that were about 2.5 feet wide and 4 feet tall. And they were made with a wood frame and leather and metal reinforcement, and they could hold it up, and the arrows of the enemy, all the arrows that the people they were attacking could not reach them. And it made them a scary sight to see these rows of thousands of shields coming forward towards them, gleaming in the sun, causing fear in the heart. And here God is telling us that he has given you a shield gleaming in the sun, causing fear in the heart of the evil one, that will conquer the evil one, that will stop his attempts to bring you over to his side, to attack you, to lead you into sin. Yeah, the great big sins, the ones that we all know about and whisper about and are ashamed when someone in our family indulges in them, and ashamed when someone finds out that we have indulged in them, but also those little sins, the gossip, the murmuring, the failure to take an opportunity to share the word when we have the opportunity to do it. God has offered us security as we carry forth as onward Christian soldiers. Take the helmet of salvation. and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The thing to remember that this armament is defensive. It's not attack armament. We are not leading the war against Satan, but God has given us all the tools that we need to defend ourselves. Several places in Scripture, it tells us that God will never allow you to be tempted more than you can stand. He has given you everything you need to stand strong. He has given you everything you need to be successful, to survive the evil one. But you have to use it. You have to put on the armor. You have to put on the word. The sword is the word of God. The sword, if we read scriptures throughout scripture, it refers to the word of God as the sword. It refers to Jesus Christ as the sword. It refers to Jesus Christ as the word. In the beginning was the word. Jesus Christ can equip us to take on all the wiles of the devil, all the temptations that we are confronted with, all of the sin that kind of creeps into our eyesight. It is Jesus Christ's armor of God that we put on when we spend time dwelling in His Word, dwelling in prayer and meditation and relationship with Jesus Christ, seeking His will for our lives, seeking understanding for what He would have us do. The good news, the very, very good news, is that the devil does not win. If you put on the armor of God, if you protect yourself by spending time reading His Word, by spending time in prayer through Jesus Christ to our Lord, the devil never wins. The devil never takes over. But it'll get scary. It's not an easy trip. It's not a cakewalk. No one ever promised us that this would be easy. It can be very tough. It's tough for me. I know it's tough for you. But the devil will not win. Not with the armor of God. Not with trust in the gifts that Jesus Christ has given us. And never, when we spend time in His Word and spend time in prayer and ask for the Lord to guide us, never will the devil prevail. Everyone seems to know that except for Satan. It's all part of the mystery. It's all part of God's plan. We have protection from Satan. God has given us His Word. God has given us faith. Faith doesn't come from me. Faith doesn't come from you. It's not this inner power and resource that you can call upon and have. Your faith is a gift of God. God has given you faith. We only have to use it. Amen.